from Los Angeles, California. You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web. And it is, what is it? It's March 30th, almost the end of the month. And from our house to your house, you're going to join us live now. Thank you for inviting us. And don't forget, when you listen to the show, you turn the lights down low. And here she is, Dr. Suzy Block.
Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Block, your lover doctor, your mother confessor, your baby girly girl, your ever so slightly twisted little sister, your daughter of the American Revelation, your pleasure preacher, darling, your horny housewife, and your friend. You know, I'm always your friend. And I'm doing a little radio show tonight from Dr. Suzy's Speakeasy in the soul of downtown L.A. on Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web. Worldwide Revolution, Worldwide Sexual Revelation. And that's right, I am a sex therapist. That is my day job. And if you have a sex question, a problem, a pleasure, a fantasy, a fetish that you'd like to talk about, you can call me at 213-749-1330. That's my number that you can reach from anywhere in the world. If you're in the United States or Canada or Mexico, you can call 1-866-289-7068. That's my toll-free number, 1-866-289-7068. And anywhere else in the world, well, we have some other numbers, actually. In London, you can call 20-710-19430. In France, it's 1-727-70-134. That's 1-727-70-134. In Aussie land, down under, good position to be in, it's 2-8-0-8-0-2-7-1-6. That's sex, right? No, six, sex, sex. It's all the same down under, isn't it? And we talk about sex here. We also talk about art and love and life, death, politics, culture. So whatever you want to talk about, we can talk about it. We talk about all kinds of stuff with experts and the girls and the guys next door. So our number, wherever you are, is always, if you don't find the other numbers, or if you're some strange place like Istanbul or New Delhi, you can call 213-749-1330. And, we're still playing our most recent show. I think we should be changing the DVD by now.
Well, you know.
It's okay. A good one, though.
It's a good one.
It's a good one. It's our Spring Fever Bacchanal, Primavera Erotica Bacchanalia. Right now, Cara Lott is going down under. She is licking the butthole of Sarah J., who just wrote to us and told us that she'd love to be on the radio show, so she's going to be on in a few days. And Kara, of course. We should have a talk with Kara. She would be interesting to talk to. You know, we don't usually get to talk much on the television show and these celebrations we do here at the Speakeasy because we tend to have our mouths full of buttholes or grapes or bananas, you know. Or agavero, or nude beer. Cheers. So that's one reason we do the radio show, is so that we have a chance to talk with you about what you really want to talk about stuff that isn't so easy to talk about, stuff you can't talk about with anyone else, and stuff that, you know, you'd have to pay a pretty penny to talk to me about when I'm not doing the radio show, when I'm doing my day job, when I charge, what do I charge? $2.10 an hour. So here it's free. And that's one of the reasons we do the radio show. Another reason we do the radio show is just to talk about stuff that we like, you know, just to let you know what is hot and what's not. Mostly we talk about what's not. We kvetch a lot here. It's a complaining show, and we complain about the war and injustice, and, you know, we complain about, the way corporations treat Mother Earth, and we complain about the administration and the debt and all these different things. But sometimes we also like to talk about, you know, the good things in life. And one of the good things I just discovered is a singer from Britain. I think she's from she's Cockney, but she sings real soul, real kind of old-fashioned blues, and well, maybe rhythm and blues. I'm not an expert, but kind of a almost a Motown sound. Actually, yeah, it is kind of a Motown sound, and yet she's this Cockney Brit. It's sort of like the way the Beatles came over here and they sang like Elvis. She sings, I think, better than most of the Americans that are singing nowadays. She's just got something going on. And she's got big, big hair, this giant, giant beehive, and all these tattoos. This is a song that she's going to sing. She has quite a sense of humor. I mean, she's very serious when she sings. But you'll hear the sense of humor, even in the title, especially when you consider her name. The title of the song is Rehab. I'm playing it off of YouTube, and I'm going to just point my microphone at my laptop here. The title of the song is Rehab, right? And of course, a lot of these celebrities, musicians, singers, actresses, actors are going in and out of rehab all the time. It's a very kind of popular thing to do. They OD, and then they got to go to rehab. Well, they don't OD to the point of death. They just kind of go get very, very sick. By the way, that was not the reason that I got sick. Although once I got sick and I was in the hospital, I did have a lot of very intense drugs that I can exactly see how you would get addicted to. But anyway, in and out of rehab. So she sings a song about rehab, but it's a little different. And her name is Amy Winehouse. That's not W-H-I-N-E. That's W-I-N-E. Amy Winehouse. Let's go into a wine house with Amy. Here we go.
I'd rather be
Hey now, Amy Winehouse singing Rehab live. That's her in somebody's office. It looks like she's just sitting in some agent's place. I like that version because it's very raw and not a lot of instrumental. She's just sitting there singing with her big, big voice. It's just so, so powerful and so, so sexy. I think it's very, very sexy. And I'm getting my microphone moved around. Excusez-moi. Okay. Here we go. And that wasn't the first version I heard, though. There's this other version that is more slick, a little more slick. It's more of a music video that I'm now playing in the background here. And she actually, they seem like they've made her up to look a little pale, like she's been on a drinking binge. And she's got her band behind her playing the horns and laying down. They look like they're in some kind of nice but sleazy hotel room or just a bed in a warehouse. And she looks like she's got quite the hangover. But beautiful, so sexy, and all these hot tattoos down her arm. I don't know if these tattoos would look pretty bad on most people, but they do look great on her. I guess I got a thing for this Amy Winehouse. I'm sure she's going to get discovered. She's just got it. She's just very relaxed and very bluesy. I mean, she could, well, she's not going to rehab. Well, I guess she has gone to rehab, actually. But I think she's still pretty much what they would call an alcoholic. And she's got her sound. She's got her look. Very sexy. And you can just see her, you know, hangover, and the manager's calling her and saying, "You got to go into rehab. I got you registered. You got to, all you got to do is stand up. We'll just carry you in there." And she's going, "No, no." And who knows? Maybe the rehab helps her. Maybe it hinders. But she does seem to have this
sexy Moxie saying no to what everyone assumes is the correct path for the poor drunk girl. Great song. And she is, I bet she's going to get a Grammy. Either that or maybe not, you know. I mean, there's all these singers all over the place now. Maybe they won't give it to her, but she deserves it. Hot chickie. Hot chickalita. Yeah, Amy Winehouse. I don't know if you ever heard of her, but now you go right to your Google her, and you'll be able to hear all her other songs. She's got a lot of great songs here. This is probably her signature song right now. Just goes to show you the sex appeal of the intoxicated woman. The intoxicated woman, when she sings like Amy Winehouse, is very intoxicating. And all her songs are on YouTube. Don't even have to go to like MTV or something like that. Everything's right here on YouTube. Beautiful. So, if you want to share your musical feelings with me, you can give me a call at 213-749-1330 or 1-866-289-7068. Am I the only one that loves Amy Winehouse? What do you think? I don't think I'm the only one. I mean, she has a lot of... I found her because I think I read about her on in one of the columns that I get emailed about. And all the comments about her are hot. Amazing. Music is rejuvenated at last. She's awesome. The song is awesome. They try to make me go to rehab. The song was based off me. I'm telling you. You see, that's it. There's so many people identifying with her. Her vocals sound a lot like Dame Shirley Bassey. I always wanted to know how Bassey would sound singing soul music. That's what it is, soul music. And it's incredible how eclectic Winehouse is that she could bridge the two sounds together. Now, see, I don't know who Dame Shirley Bassey is, but she's the other side of that sound. One side is soul. Is the other side Cockney? Some kind of British sound? It's beautiful. She can sing. And a very, very sexy, unique look with all that teased up hair. Everybody's going to get teased up hair now. I wear hats all the time. I don't know if I should tease up my hair. But then the eye makeup, where you've got very, very thick lines around your eyes. Real kind of low class, but she pulls it off because she's so real. And she's got such talent. So, Amy Winehouse, maybe you'd like to do an interview someday. If anybody knows how to get in touch with her, we'd love to have her on the show, Amy Winehouse. So what else is happening in the world? Let's see. Well, I could go back to my favorite site here. Sex. Where is it? The topics. All those cool topics. Stuff. Here we go. And let's see what the topics are now. In the news. Sex in the news. Parents are protesting a high school sex newspaper. A high school sex newspaper. Okay. Interesting. I wonder what high school. Couldn't have been my high school. Harriton High School. It was practically a sex newspaper when I was the editor-in-chief of the Harriton Forum. I changed the name to the Harriton Free Forum. And it was pretty wild. But not exactly a sex newspaper. No. Some parents are protesting the sex edition of the student newspaper. newspaper at Winnacunnet High School. Several said they were especially offended by a photograph of two women kissing under the headline, "Why Men Love Women Who Love Women." Yes, that's a time-honored topic, isn't it? A quiz question about anal sex and an interview with an unnamed custodian who said he had found a vibrator in the girl's shower. Wow, this sounds like a fun newspaper, actually. Where is Winnacunnet High School? Well, those articles offended me personally as a parent, said Venus Merrill, a school board member. It's not something you want to read with your 10-year-old, and it's not something that should be going home. Well, where should it be going? Out in the alley? Principal Randy Zito said that the Winna Chronicle had crossed the line of responsible reporting and that he had dealt with the problem privately. He also said he had pulled copies of the paper that normally would have been sent to middle schools in the cooperative school district. He dealt with the problem privately. Did he roll up the newspaper and spank those students with it? Wonder what he did. The newspaper's faculty advisor defended the editor's decisions and said that the February edition of the paper was intended to inform students, not shock people, although they knew it would stir controversy. Well, this is a quite brave faculty advisor here. I wonder what's going to happen to his or her job. Notice the name has not been named here. The kid wrote the, it's a woman, okay. The kids wrote the articles and came up with the topic, said advisor Carol Downer. In other words, not my fault. They didn't go out to cause controversy, but the Winna Chronicle is also not a PR piece for the high school. This is a place for students to express their views and talk about issues that are troubling the student body. The newspaper is not reviewed in advance of publication by administrators. The school board has not discussed the controversy in a public meeting, but parent Paula Wood of Seabrook said she wants it on the agenda for the next one. So this is only one edition, I guess, of this newspaper, and it's a sex edition. And why not? These are high school human beings at the height of their sexual hormonal levels, or getting towards the height. Anyway, for boys it is 18. For women it does, the height gets older. But still, there's a lot of hormonal activity going on. A lot of social activity also going on. So why shouldn't it be discussed in a newspaper? I think that's a great thing to discuss it in a newspaper. But anyway, I'm all for freedom of speech, and certainly students deserve it. So kudos to Carol Downer. Carol Downer is a brave woman. Okay, so then we go on to say, Zito told her it would be discussed in a closed session because it might involve personnel issues. Ah, maybe Carol Downer is down for the count. She might be losing her job, her head. But Wood said she asked the superintendent to hold a public meeting. I don't want to discuss personnel, Wood said. I want to discuss the paper. I thought it was a vile, disgusting piece of pornography. I wouldn't want to be in front of children, let alone paid for by taxpayers. Whoa. Well, Wood is certainly out there. She sounds like she's some kind of crusader. Wood said she and her children, two boys, discuss sex openly. Quote, but not in a disgusting manner. Oh, I see. This is disgusting. I'm not sure what was disgusting about these headlines. I have to see this paper. I don't know if it's truly disgusting. The student paper's editor-in-chief, Katie McKay, and managing editor, Lisa McManus, two women, two girls. You know, this is a woman's movement here. This is a woman advisor, and these are two girl editors. Katie McKay and Lisa McManus, said they wanted to educate students, nearly half of whom are already having sexual intercourse, according to a 2005 youth risk behavior survey at the high school. Well, that is true, you know, across the board. That's a common statistic. The true or false quiz was particularly enlightening, they said. As we put the pages on the table, the staff said, "Oh my goodness, that's false? I had no idea," McKay said. "This is definitely stuff kids didn't know about." They also got a lot of feedback about the article on lesbians, she said. "We thought it was an important topic to address," McKay said. "Being in a high school, it's something I've seen and something other kids have seen in the hallways." Well, it's there in the hallways. You know, it's a jungle in these schools. And we are great apes, we humans. And we smooch in the hallways. I guess they don't mean sexual intercourse in the hallways, though I'm not sure. I haven't been in a high school lately. In an editorial, McManus wrote that the students were aware they were dealing with a taboo. "These stories have been edited and re-edited for content and delivery, keeping in mind that the job here is to inform, not shock," the editorial said. "It's about sex. Deal with it." Okay. So, "it is something parents hope their children remain ignorant about until after marriage. It is something faculty members and administrators hope not to deal with, but something that almost all students have experienced or been exposed to." And that's the end of the quote. And that's an amazingly good paragraph right there. Let me read that again. "These stories have been edited and re-edited for content and delivery, keeping in mind that the job here is to inform, not shock. It's about sex. Deal with it. It's something parents hope their children remain ignorant about until after marriage. It's something faculty members and administrators hope not to deal with, but something that almost all students have experienced or been exposed to." And yes, Brother Dave, you wanted to comment? Now the article's over. I thought I should read the whole thing there. That was pretty interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Pretty interesting.
I was wondering if you could play a little piece of that woman's piece again. Because I've made a technological advance in the board.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I want to see if it works.
Oh, I thought you wanted to comment on this school.
You know, these kids know more about than their parents.
Well, of course. But the question is, I mean, should they be able to publish a newspaper with their observations and their questions and answers and about sex?
I believe the First Amendment.
Well, I don't know if that applies to a school.
What are they, slaves or something? They
well,
can't
I don't
talk?
Know if it's. Well, I mean, I guess it. I'm not sure if the
you
First Amendment applies.
Children
to the
are
school.
Not. You have to be over 18 in order to speak. I don't think so.
I don't know. I mean, but you know, of course, the school paper is paid for by the taxpayers, by the community.
Sure.
So that's a little different than just freedom of speech. It's not just as if a student paid for it themselves. They're doing it with the school.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who pays for it. It's about freedom of speech. It's not about who paid for the freedom of speech.
Well, I think that the school has a right to make the decision.
The editor has a right.
The editor and the
publisher.
And they have a right to get rid of the editor. The board, that's right. I guess the parents do ultimately, the school board, they have a right to do what they want.
Like in any newspaper or magazine that publishes something that the publisher or the editor doesn't like.
Right.
It's ultimately not the advertisers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's the publisher or the editor that has to have the courage to publish. And it is up to whoever their governing board is to say, "All right, little kid, you're fired."
I was editor of my high school paper, and I remember that I didn't have freedom of speech.
Right.
Because the principal could say no. He could say, "No, you're not allowed to publish that."
Why shouldn't these children have freedom of speech? I've never understood that.
I don't know.
What are the reasons behind it? You can't speak to when can
I guess that because
no, here's the question
they don't have freedom in any of their extracurricular activities or in their classroom.
Yeah, but
they don't have freedom of speech in the classroom.
These are activities.
Yeah.
These are activities. I understand that. You can't play football, whatever, in the middle of the night, in the gym. You know, those things. Yeah. When does a child get freedom of speech then? I don't really
share the point of view that they necessarily have to have full freedom of speech, because it is a school that's paid for by the parents, so they should decide how their kids should spend their time.
This is not disruptive. This is not like swearing and carrying
Now we're getting into...
This is newspapering.
Because, of course, what if the newspaper was full of swearing? And what if it was full of, how to build a bomb and things like
Then
that's not proper.
But that has nothing to do with proper journalism.
But you see, that's why I don't believe they should have complete freedom of speech in every high school,
Again,
newspaper.
You can change the editor.
Yeah, exactly. So what I think is, you could change the editor.
Right.
You could.
The answer.
And that's what they're doing here, I think. Not what they're doing necessarily, but what the parents want to do is get rid of the editor as well as the advisor. So the question becomes not whether they can do that legally. I think they can.
They can.
The question is, should there be a high school sex newspaper? I mean, there are college sex newspapers, and
are we talking about high school here?
Yeah, we're talking about high school. This is high school.
All right, come on.
Well, these kids are how old? They are 15
through 18.
15 through 18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They better start talking about sex now.
Well, they are talking about
it. Exactly.
So the question is, should they talk about it in a supervised fashion, which is actually, this newspaper is supervised.
Right.
They've got an advisor who sounds like a pretty...
So it sounds like everything's fine. So I think any of the parents that either object or support this should be pushing these...
I think they should put out another newspaper with both points of view. The parents who don't want to talk about it.
No, it's up to the parents. Well, and I think in every community today, as this other woman who says she's against it, are talking to their kids about sex openly. And so you should support the advisor and the editor.
Yeah.
And you should say, no, we don't want them fired. We feel that this is proper. And it sounds very proper to me. I don't think they've
It probably doesn't have any swearing in it.
Right.
I mean, okay, so here's... Here's what was the most, I guess, naughty or salacious or whatever word you want to use. A photograph of two women kissing.
Well, but that's in general media.
Yes, that's true. It's in general media.
How are you going to keep it out of a high school paper when every newspaper in the world has that?
You know, and why should – and in a high school paper, I'm sure they've had a man and a woman kissing. And that's okay.
I'm sure.
So why
shouldn't they
have two women kissing?
But the idea is that it's very much local community standards. I mean, you can't.
Okay, and then under the headline, "Why Men Love Women Who Love Women." That's the headline.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty, I guess.
It's very common, as you know.
It's very common. Right. Is it something that you would say? It's not. It's nothing to do with safe sex or.
No, but it's answering a question.
It's to do with psychology.
Yeah.
It's to do with relationships.
Why do men love women that love women?
And this is what gets the parents crazy. I mean, I can imagine, usually the sex education is pretty much just about, transmission of disease and abstinence.
Right.
And this is pretty sexy. It's like, why men love women who love women? I mean, come on, compared to abstinence education and even STD prevention education.
Susan, it's in every teen magazine.
It's in every
newspaper.
So why shouldn't it be in a high school?
So they're not going to see it. They're going to see it someplace else, and unless it's explained, And of course, these kids know why. But it's the parents that are really
the parents
the
are
problem.
Uncomfortable.
It's
yeah,
it's the parents.
The
that
parents
are, uncomfortable.
Are very uncomfortable. They don't want to have these discussions. That's basically what they said.
Right, right.
Oh yes, I talk to my kids about sex.
Yeah, but
just
how do you,
not in a disgusting way.
Well, how do you talk about it? The bees and the birds. And,
maybe she says sex is something you save for marriage.
Or do you lie to them? I mean,
most parents like
lie.
Sex is something your father and I didn't have until marriage.
Well, I don't know if we believe that either.
Well, that's probably the way she means she talks about sex. Sex is something that two people that love each other
I
share.
I think the parents should take some sex education classes, these parents. And I think the other parents ought to go demonstrate in front of the anti-sex parents' houses. And I think you ought to create a big brouhaha. And all the pro-sex, pro-life people should be out there.
I think to a great degree, parenting is an anti-aphrodisiac. It's a turnoff.
Well, that too. But I think these kids have the absolute right. I mean, they're not showing anybody fucking.
Okay, so what else do they have? A quiz question about anal sex.
Okay.
Now, that could be about disease. That could be, do you know what is the form of sex that most easily spreads sexually transmitted diseases?
Well, I think
anal
that's
sex.
An important issue.
That's probably what that is. But, you know, Associated Press is a little bit naughty, too, by not saying what kind of question. Anyway, an interview with an unnamed custodian. This is the funniest one. Who said he found a vibrator in the girl's shower. Whoa.
Oh,
now, that's
goodness.
Kind of, I don't know. What that's sexy. But it's educational.
It's true.
It's probably true. Yeah. Why not?
You know,
some of these girls bring their vibrators to school.
And I'm sure that these kids have found many vibrators in their parents' houses.
Oh, of course.
And that vibrator was probably stolen from somebody's mother.
The exciting thing is that the vibrator is found at school.
Right. Well, therein lies the crime. Child steals mother's vibrator and loses evidence
and it's
in the
shower.
Shower.
So, right. Meaning in the shower.
There's a couple of them doing this.
It sounds like there's a few of them together. It doesn't
sound. Let's try that.
Let's try that. Let me see. Oh, let me try that. Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, I think this is.
So is that better than this happening at somebody else's house? I mean, they just found a vibrator.
Yeah.
You know, and actually nobody saw anybody use it. So there is really no crime here. We don't know what it was used
for. No. What they got the problem with is not the actual vibrator. They got the problem with the newspaper. Because if this newspaper continues, you understand there will be more vibrators discovered in the girls' and the boys' shower.
Right.
There will be more sex reported upon.
Right.
And then it will come out in the open how much sex is going on in high school, not just the statistics.
Well, what high school is this?
You know what? I don't know what town this is in.
Maybe this is a made-up story.
A high school called Winnicunit High School.
Okay, so what are we going to find out? We're going to find out.
It doesn't seem like a joke thing.
We're going to find out.
Portsmouth Herald. Okay. This is in Oregon.
Portsmouth.
This is in Oregon.
So we're going to find out that children in high school have sex. That's all we're going to find out, is if we didn't know.
It's a little bit more than finding that out. It's not just finding out that they have sex. What the parents are opposed to is the descriptive quality of journalism, that journalism describes it.
Well, of course.
If they were going to hear from their kids that they found a vibrator in high school.
Yes, but that's what newspapers do.
And it's in print. It's it's the beauty and the agony of it.
Well, that's what newspapers do. Unless you're against publishing. I don't know.
Well, I think probably these people are against...
It's not a movie where you can talk.
Publishing.
It's not a movie. It's words. So, you know, how do you describe...
Well, it's not a movie now, but here's how the parents see it. I'm just playing.
I know how they.
I just want everyone to know. I am playing a devil's advocate here. I mostly agree with you, but I feel that to have a good conversation,
this is not about the parents.
It is about the
parents. No, it's about the free speech of the children, and
they just produced their paper. The parents are now. coming out with their statement. So this article is really about the parents.
That's what readers are supposed to do. They're supposed to speak out.
Yes. And
newspapers are supposed to create that conversation. That's what newspapers are all about.
But the point is that these are what they call children here.
These are not children.
15 to 18.
These are not children. Walt Disney invented children. These are grown-up kids who are about to go out into life, and they better go out into life with some knowledge about these kinds of things. These aren't kindergartners. Go back two generations ago, and these kids were working and having sex and going to hookers.
Yeah. And probably a lot of these kids are doing that.
Then they get into bad marriages because they've never had sex. You know, you're the therapist. You hear these horror stories of these marriages where this guy is trying to put his penis into the person's belly button and wondering why she's not getting pregnant.
Actually, I've never heard that story.
Oh, I read that when I was a kid in sexology, and I was in junior high school, and I read that.
I have seen that in one of the Kinsey interviews. He did talk to a guy who couldn't get his wife pregnant because he was going through the belly button. Yeah. That's the only time I heard about it. I haven't heard about it personally. I think because there has been more sex education now since Kinsey's time, not very many people.
I have no tolerance for these parents.
Are aiming for the belly button.
They're out of line. They are sickos. And they have rights. And their rights are fire the editor, fire the counselor, show the children what you feel is journalism, and that is that you can't talk in certain ways. This is the printed word. It's the most protected thing in this country, is the printed word.
Well, but this is school. Keep in mind, this is school.
But
okay?
then
we're not just talking about the printed
Susan,
word.
Susan, then
you... Because after all, here's what the parents... Will you let me tell you what the parents will say?
I know what they
say. Okay, you want to change the subject?
No.
You don't want to talk about this.
No, but I know what the parents are saying.
Okay, then what...
And I'm saying to you...
No, you don't know what I'm going to say now. You don't know what I'm going
to
say.
They have no rights to bar someone else's rights.
Jesus.
Okay. Go ahead.
That what the parents... are afraid of is that the way you're talking, it's like you don't want me to speak.
We know
Barbie
what the parents
offend you.
We know what the parents want are offended by. What about the children's rights? We know what the parents are offended by. They don't want to talk about sex. They don't want to talk about their miserable sex lives with their husbands. They don't want to face sex. That's clear. Now, I understand that point of view. Is it okay? Absolutely not.
That's not the point of view that I was going to tell you the parents are afraid of.
Okay.
I mean, of course, that is one of the things the parents are afraid of. That is probably the underlying discomfort that they have. But there are other discomforts. They have discomfort not just with their own lousy sex lives, but with what the fact that their children are growing up, that they're not children, that they're teenagers, and that they're pretty much adults.
Well, okay, let's put some chastity belts.
And
let's
what they're uncomfortable with is that this is a newspaper. Now, some of the kids or teenagers are going to next want to make movies.
You know,
right?
Because
they make movies now. Right.
Of course.
So they probably have.
And then they're
going to
want to drink, and then they're going to want to have sex,
but
and then they want to.
They'll want to do a sex movie.
Of course,
in high school, like they do in college.
They're probably doing that right now. They have all the technology.
But in a class.
Well, but that's not. You know, they may sneak in there and do it. Nobody can stop them.
Well, are you saying they shouldn't be allowed to? Say they have a class in movie making.
Yes.
Why not do a movie that shows two?
Because that's not appropriate.
Well, why is it
These
okay to
pictures.
Show a photograph?
That's why
you didn't want to let me speak.
What?
Why is it okay to show a photograph of two girls kissing and not okay to show the girls actually kissing in a movie?
Oh, I would allow that.
Well, you just said that's
no,
not
no,
appropriate.
No.
Yes, you did. You just said that.
Okay, well,
that
me,
was
if,
your,
if
your
that
impulse,
was my, that was, if
and that, that was the parental
no, 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 my
impulse,
impulse
right there.
No.
That was it, right
my
there.
This is live radio,
and we're recording this, so we have it on tape.
No, my impulse was they shouldn't be having sex in front of the camera. I don't consider.
I didn't say sex. I said kissing.
I don't consider kissing sex. So.
No, I'm figuring they're not showing intercourse in the newspaper, but they are showing a kiss. Now, what if they show a kiss making out between two girls or between a guy and a girl in a movie?
What's the difference between a kiss on the cheek and a kiss on the lips between two girls?
I think there's a lot of difference.
There is?
Oh, yeah.
You mean lesbians don't kiss each other on the cheek?
Well, of course you kiss each
other
on the cheek.
And you couldn't put that same...
These lesbians weren't kissing each other on the cheek. It's tongue kissing.
Okay, you couldn't put that same commentary under two girls kissing each other on the cheek.
No, because kissing on the cheek is not...
But that would imply they're lesbians.
Not really.
Okay.
Well, I think when you kiss on the cheek, it doesn't imply anything.
I really don't care what the parents think. What I care about is the children's rights to publish and to learn what journalism is about and to fight back at the pressure to shut up as a journalist. And that's what you're facing, kids. Pressure from your parents, from government, to not write and not speak about certain subjects. And as a journalist, that's the biggest challenge you'll find in journalism.
Well, that's true, and I faced that challenge myself when I was a high school journalist about politics, you know, because I was very vehemently anti-war. And that was considered controversial at the time. And I got some trouble for some editorials.
Okay,
for
so obviously these kids had a very sane counselor and a very dedicated counselor.
Yeah, she seems to be.
Right, and they did exactly what journalists are supposed to do, to create conversation and discussion over different subjects. So you did good, kids. Demonstrate, fight for your rights, sue your parents, sue the school district, and sue these anti-sex people. And
well, actually, I don't think they're going to have... They published their edition. They already did. It's done. It's out there. It's a question of distribution, I guess, whether they're going to distribute it to all the... I don't know. Maybe this is more than just a high school. This is a district.
The 9th District Court just gave a bunch of kids...
Some rights. What did they give them rights to do?
Which, by the way, these are rights that we took away from children. Children always had the right to speak at 15 and go to hookers and drink and do all those things.
Yeah, so these are definitely rights we have taken away from them. And I don't want to call them children. They're not really
children.
They're not children. 15 to 18.
15 to 18, they're adults. Any religion can tell you that there's a certain mark where you become an adult. And it's a much younger age.
The principal pulled copies of the paper that would normally have been sent to middle schools. Okay, well, middle schools, that's younger. Maybe that's okay. I don't know. You know, it's like, yeah, it's not a black and white thing. But we are on the side of the students. They are probably seniors, and they're women. I hate to be sexist, but I
ran
my hand
through the V of her crotch.
Right, it reminds
Every
you of when you
kid.
Published your
Grace Metalis, Peyton Place.
Peyton Place in your high school.
It was read in my junior high school. It was read by every kid in the country stole the book from their parents.
And you got into trouble for it.
Well, because we published our own Peyton Place and we got...
It was your own story.
It was when we published it and we got suspended, you know, and... You know, so we took our punishment.
You took your punishment. See, these kids have gotten a little farther along. First of all, it is a little bit like a Peyton Place. After all, they're interviewing a custodian about the vibrators in the girls' shower. Yeah, that's a little Peyton Placey. Right. The photograph of the two women.
By the way, not unlike many government stories that you hear where the source has to remain... unnamed because,
They'll
get in trouble.
Right, right. Oh, yeah.
This is a classical publishing story. And I applaud these young people.
How about this? The principal's name is Zito.
Zito.
You got a lot of zits when you're in high school and you got a principal named Zito.
Well, you know, one thing that I can say for him, he didn't ban the thing totally. So he...
Well, he claims he didn't see it. Okay. He feels it crossed the line of responsible reporting.
Nobody saw it. This just sprang up on him.
He says he dealt with the problem privately.
Right, private.
Whatever, what is that about? That sounds pretty, I don't know, naughty.
Don't tell anybody that I told you that I found the vibrator in there, okay?
Yeah.
That's all.
It's my vibrator. Oh, my God. So, he's the one who... I think he's just trying to do damage control. You know. It's the parents.
Yes, of course. It's always
the parents are calling it pornography. Yeah, and of course, not all the parents.
Well, wait a minute.
Just
a couple of parents. That's like the chief of Orange County Police, okay, who sends his son, okay, to one of my news racks to buy the paper. Mm-hmm. Right? The kid had no interest whatsoever. sent them to buy the newspaper, and then prosecuted us.
Yeah.
Okay? He lost the case, of course, because, you know, it was his kid, you know? But so parents, you know, most parents, not all parents today because the world is changing, but if you come from a religious background in an era maybe one generation away, you're pretty fucked up about sex. I mean, you're really fucked up about sex, you know, so...
Well, anyway, I'll just close this
topic with the editorial that the
students wrote, because I think this is really very simple and very well written. This is by one of the students, I guess, Lisa McManus, the managing editor, maybe? Lisa McManus.
Well, I also notice a lot of Irish names here.
Uh-huh, yeah. McKay. So, Katie McKay is the editor-in-chief. Lisa McManus is the managing editor.
You got a bunch of Catholics.
He's Irish, yeah.
A bunch of Catholics fighting about what can be said about sex.
Well, yeah. That's what you got. You got the Italian guy as the principal. And then who are the parents that are complaining? Let's see. Woods. That's more of a wood.
Well, that's British.
British, yeah. Well, these are people up there in Oregon. Yeah. I guess they're really on the cutting edge. I don't know if there are other high school sex newspapers and what I'm saying is that are published by the high school as a high school project, not something like you guys did something on your own. You sneaked in. But this was a high school advisor. This is a regular newspaper. They came out with a sex edition. I think this is a little revolutionary. Good for you.
Good for you.
I think it is.
And don't forget Sex Week at Yale.
Yeah, right. That's what you graduate to. So. Maybe these girls will get into Yale based on this.
That's right.
You know, I'm sure it's a good career move for them.
It's getting their name into the paper.
You tell them
that Dr. Susan Block sent you for an application.
You know that's why they did it.
Yeah.
They did it for their... These are very ambitious girls.
Right.
And it's a good idea.
And they caused controversy.
They knew they were going to cause controversy. I don't believe that when they said it. The purpose is, but I do agree. I guess the purpose is not to cause controversy, but they knew that it would, because they're smart girls.
Well, I mean,
the purpose is to further sex education.
The purpose of any newspaper is to create discussion, and some people call that controversy, but the purpose of a newspaper is to unearth. Wrongdoing, good things, but its main purpose is to cause discussion and thought.
And that's why it's often a very difficult subject at school. Because at school there's not supposed to be too much discussion. You're supposed to learn from the teacher and just do your work. And a newspaper does question the teachers, the administration, the other students. It questions everybody. That's the purpose of the newspaper.
Right. So, good. What do they say? The British. Good on you.
Good on you.
Good on you,
good
children.
Good job. All right. And this is once more the statement from their editorial. It's about sex. Deal with it. It is something parents hope their children remain ignorant about until after marriage. It is something faculty members and administrators hope not to deal with, but something that almost all students have experienced or been exposed to. So, therefore, they should learn about it.
That's the best defense I've heard.
It's very, very clear.
Eloquent statement.
Very simple.
And we should call you and have you on the show.
Actually, we should.
Yeah, of course.
That's what radio is all about. Certainly the advisor.
Yeah.
Okay, we need an intern to work on the radio show now. We need an intern.
Yeah.
Okay, we're putting out an ad for a radio intern. To
you'll get overwhelmed.
Get the guests.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just realized that's what we need.
So now,
to call these people because I can't
let's
call them.
Talk about technology a little bit. Could you just play that little song?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Maybe I'll play a different one because.
I just want to test something.
Okay, let me see what else she's got here.
We're in the studio testing. By the way, if you want to talk to us.
The Rehab song is great.
Yeah,
but.
You can call us at 213-749-1330. We also have one toll-free number, which you can call us on, which I don't know. I should have these in front of me. We're broadcasting from Los Angeles, California, and we broadcast around the world.
Wait, one second. Let's see, what should I have her sing? Oh, you know I'm no good. This is pretty good. This is a good one, too.
Mm-hmm. See? Now it's going directly into the...
Uh-huh, very good. I just have to get it in stereo. But... Is our voice on now, or... No. You turned the mic down? Oh, my mic is on. Oh, okay. Oh, well, this sounds good, though. Yeah, it sounds good. Yeah, I get to hear it in my headphones now. Hey!
You see? Like that?
Oh, yeah.
Now you can play CDs and music.
Yeah, yeah. This is great. Amy Winehouse singing "You Know I'm No Good."
She reminds me a little bit of Janis Joplin.
Yeah, she is like Janis Joplin. And her hair all over the place, and her voice is so good, and this and the drinking.
Yeah.
And so sincere. She's prettier than Janis Joplin, though. Janis Joplin was not a real looker. She was a beautiful singer, but was not blessed by the looks gods. This one is. She's beautiful. But she kind of acts like she doesn't care about her looks in a way. She kind of has this careless look to her. Yeah, that sounds good. Lick your lips as I soak my feet. Yeah, it sounds good. Sounds like stereo. Yeah. Great song. You Know I'm No Good. All right. I cheated myself like I knew I would. I told you I was troubled. You know that I'm no good. You had to be a nasty girl and try to play me. Play me, play me, nasty girl. I don't know if that's part of the lyric here. Amy White. Oh, I see. These are this is a different lyric here. Meet you downstairs in the bar and heard your rolled up sleeves and your skull t-shirt. You say, why did you do it with him today and sniff me out like I was Tangeray? Yeah, she's no good. She cheated. She's so sexy. I cheated myself like I knew I would. I told you I was troubled. You knew that I'm no good. I cheated myself like I knew I would. I told you I was troubled. Yeah, you know I'm no good.
Guess what? You can put music now behind your monologues.
I could, actually. Yeah. Wowie. Well, can I can put a CD in here, I guess.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Well, that's really something. That's this is fun. This is fun here on Radio Susie 1. And if you want to talk to us, we're just talking about sex, love, life, music, death, war. Our number is 213-749-1330 if you're in Los Angeles or outside North America. If you're inside North America, you can be in Canada, United States, or Mexico, and the number is 1-866-289-7068. That's 1-866-289-7068. And that is our toll-free number. We will pay for the call. And what else is going on here?
All right. Now, you should call us, no matter where you are in the world. We want to hear from you. We're lonely in the studio. There's nobody here. It's Friday night, okay? And a lot of you have probably just gotten back from dates or something, right? Because it's early morning in some countries. And
in some countries.
Yeah, in New York, it's...
A lot of you might be recovering from hangovers.
Right. In New York, you know, you're probably... It's probably about almost 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock there. So, you know, call us if you're listening.
1-866-289-7068 or 213-749-1330. Let's talk about torture. We've been talking about it off and on Radio Suzy 1 here, about all these different people confessing to all these different terrorist crimes. There's been a raft of confessions lately. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed has confessed everything, and then there was this Saudi guy that confessed.
Right.
Now, the Saudi has reneged. He
they're all going to renege.
Well, I don't know if this is the same Saudi, actually. A suspected Saudi terrorist told a military hearing that he was tortured into confessing that he was involved in the bombing of the warship USS Cole, according to a Defense Department transcript released Friday. Abd al-Rahim al-Nashiri, a Saudi national of Yemeni descent, said he made up stories that tied him to the Cole attack, which killed 17 U.S. sailors and nearly succeeded in sinking the $1 billion destroyer in Aden Harbor, Yemen. From the time I was arrested 5 years ago, they have been torturing me. It happened during interviews. One time they tortured me one way, and another time they tortured me in a different way, al-Nashiri said, according to the transcript. I just said those things to make the people happy. They were very happy when I told them those things. So, portions of the 36-page hearing transcript were edited out, and it does not include any details of the torture al-Nashiri said took place over 5 years. Yeah, I bet it was edited out. Pentagon spokesman Brian Whitman said that any allegations of torture would be investigated. He said sections were blacked out of the transcript because of national security reasons. Al-Nashiri is one of 14 so-called high-value detainees that were moved to Guantanamo in September from secret Central Intelligence Agency prisons abroad. The military is conducting hearings for the 14 to determine if they are enemy combatants who can be held indefinitely and prosecuted for war crimes. Indefinitely, yes, and tortured indefinitely, too. So this guy, I mean... I don't know.
Well, I think that
he's just saying what all the psychologists say is that torture doesn't work. It gets people to say things. It gets people to confess to things they didn't do. And what good does that do us? What good does that do us? This is like the parents wanting no sex in the newspapers, in the high school newspapers. It's just to make them feel good. It's just to make them feel less concerned about. Less stressed. And the purpose of having these guys confess is just to make the torturers and the administrators feel good. Because, you know, these guys are not confessing to anything real. They're just confessing because they're in pain, because they're being tortured.
And I think you're going to have... this is kind of setting a precedent because the Australian is going back to Australia.
It was an Australian. This was a different guy.
Right. And so I think everybody now is going to confess... And I think when everybody confesses...
they send them home.
Yeah, and then we will have solved all the terrorist acts in the world and we can close up Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah.
And then they'll all be released, by the
way. I don't know what is going to happen to this guy. I mean, I guess he did this according to a Defense Department transcript. Where does he go now? Is he still in Guantanamo?
Yeah, he's still in Guantanamo. But the new, I forget who he is.
He is one of the 14 so-called high-value detainees that were moved to Guantanamo in September from secret Central Intelligence Agency prisons abroad.
Where they were really tortured.
Ah, they think Guantanamo's bad. In these other prisons, it's even worse.
Right.
Because they're in, like, Turkey or something.
No, Turkey didn't happen.
No, Turkey is a good
but,
country.
I'll tell you
where are they? Egypt? I mean,
no.
Yemen?
No, they're in...
China?
No.
Where are they?
They're in former communist states. Poland is one of them.
I see.
Bulgaria, I believe, is another one. Most of the former communist countries already had these facilities.
The torture facility.
Out in the middle of the woods.
Yes.
You know, so that's where they
And you needed infrastructure. Mm-hmm. They have the infrastructure. Yeah.
That's
the torture infrastructure.
Right. And that's where they were taken. So you didn't have to build.
The former communist countries.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Bulgaria,
Poland, all those areas around there. Lithuania, you know.
Right. Okay, well, that's where al-Nashiri was tortured into confessing anything to make the guys happy. He just
he says
it very simple. It's like they were very happy when I told them these things. I'm sure they gave him a sandwich after he said that.
They're all sitting there. You want a cigarette? This is great.
Yeah, cigarette. This is a good
tell
one.
Us
okay,
more,
tell us
more.
Tell us more.
I'm on.
And if he says, I didn't do anything, that's when they applied the electroshock to his penis.
Right.
Ah.
I did it. I'm telling you, I was there. I was on that boat.
Right.
I did it.
That gets you, you know, a Coca-Cola.
Can I get a Coke now and a sandwich? Yeah, and tell us more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who was with you? Oh.
It's so obvious. I mean, why would anyone want to say, no, I didn't do it when you get, you know, electroshocked to your genitals?
And
versus saying, I did it, and then you get, you know, a Coca-Cola.
And once they're found guilty, I would probably say that most of them will recant. And certainly the
answer. Of course they will.
Yeah.
And that's why torture renders any testimony invalid. This is why, okay, folks? This is why it's useless. It's worse than useless. You can't, I mean, maybe these people did do something, you know? But you'll never know because they got their confession out of torture. And if you get the confession out of torture, it is invalid. It cannot be trusted. So.
All right, I'll be right back.
They shouldn't be doing it.
I'll be right back.
Are you going to torture somebody? Well, okay.
Well, we have to make up a few minutes, about 18 minutes.
So. Oh, no. Do we really?
Yeah, for an hour and a half, sure.
Oh, okay. Oh, God. Okay. So let's see. So let's go further with torture into the heart of darkness. Since torture is not something that works, since torture is obviously unethical, evil, why do people do it? Why do we engage in torture? Why do so many people in different societies engage in torture? I mean, actually, I respect our society here in the United States for at least having the freedom to speak out against torture, which perhaps is not true in some societies. However, we still have people in our government, in our jails, in our prisons, in our military, in the companies that contract with the military, the mercenaries. All kinds of people engage in torture. They torture their fellow human beings. Yeah, you could say, well, because they demonize them. They make them the bad guys. But still, these are people like you and me, I think. I mean, I don't flatter myself to think I am superior to them, that I am somehow more peaceful than they are. I am not in the situation they are in. The situation is to a great degree what makes them torture. Understanding how good people turn evil is the subject that psychologist Phil Zimbardo looked into in his landmark Stanford prison experiment that took place years ago over 35 years ago, in 1971, psychology professor Philip Zimbardo created the Stanford Prison Experiment, in which 24 college students were randomly assigned the role of prison guard or prisoner at a makeshift jail on campus. And this experiment was scheduled to run for a couple of weeks. And they were going to study the various reactions of the prisoners and the guards. All students, 24 college students, nice kids, one would imagine. The experiment was scheduled to run for 2 weeks. By day two, the guards were going far beyond just keeping the prisoners behind bars. In scenes that were very, very creepily similar to Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo, the prisoners were stripped naked. They put bags on their heads. They sexually humiliated them. They hurt them. The two-week experiment had to be canceled after just 6 days. It was too scary. It was going too far. People were getting hurt. Somebody might have gotten killed. Now Zimbardo, the guy that did this in 1971, he sees his chance for a comeback. Yeah, go Zimbardo. I think he should get a comeback. And he has a new book, The Lucifer Effect. The Lucifer Effect. This is another one we should get on here. As the United States enters the fifth year of its occupation of the ancient land of Mesopotamia, Iraq, we have to say that some of the most bothersome images from this war, this occupation, are the photographs of the U.S. soldiers torturing Iraqi prisoners in Abu Ghraib. When these pictures were leaked to the press, a whole world of torture was revealed back in May 2004, showing Iraqis with bags over their heads, Iraqis being beaten, being bitten by dogs, being forced into sexual positions, being forced to masturbate, just being made to run around naked with a bag on your head, and then also just being punched and kicked while tied up, being made to stand on a box.
Well, maybe, you know, it's like the article you wrote, The Rape of Iraq.
Yeah.
Maybe that's better than getting shot.
Well, it is.
And it's being dead. So,
well,
you know.
Well, yeah, it is better than that.
It's awful. No, I'm just, you know.
Sure.
And teasing.
And that is, of course, but now you sound a little bit like Judge Manuel Real when I sued the LAPD and he said, you're
right.
Lucky you weren't shot, young lady. Right. You're lucky you didn't end up in jail. Well, why should I? I mean, yeah, I'm lucky, you know, but, you know, we have rights, and there are prisoners' rights, are there not? Prisoners' rights, especially since most of these prisoners didn't do anything.
Right.
Most of them didn't do anything, okay? Not that the people whose houses were bombed did anything either. It's just maybe, you know, the bombs blowing people up, of course, that is the worst part of the war, and the people getting shot in the head and the bombs, but, you know, there's another layer to the war that is not as bad, but is somehow more bothersome, and that is this torture. It's of course not as bad, but it's creepier. It's like, it's got all these sexual connotations to it. I mean, when you blow somebody up, I don't think there's much of a sexual connotation, except for maybe the whole idea of ejaculation, you know. Oh, yeah. But these torture acts, they're full of fetishism. They're full of just perversity. And
well,
yet,
you know, they
were... They're so common. They are so common.
These were George Bush's fetish films.
They were. They were. And I think that what this psychology professor, Phil Zimbardo, his book underlines that idea, because this experiment that he did in 1971 It was a famous experiment called the Stanford Experiment, in which 24 male college students were randomly assigned the role of guard, and they had other students assigned the role of prisoner, and they just got incredibly, incredibly sadistic. And I guess that what it's saying is that this could happen to any of us in this position. I mean, I wouldn't like to think it could happen to me. You know, there were women that were torturing these guys. So it's certainly not something that is just about guys, is just about testosterone. It's human. And it's because the administration tells them it's right. That's basically what they're doing it for.
Because they're told to do it. Right.
And they're told it's okay.
Right. Or nothing is said while the person below you is doing it, and you know that it's being done. I mean, it all comes from the top.
Yeah. So he says they had only normal, healthy young men doing this. They interviewed them, you know, and according to all of their little questions, that this was these were normal, healthy young men, and it just goes to show the whole idea that Abu Ghraib was because of a few bad apples is ridiculous. Good apples torture if they're in the right situation.
I think it was due to just a few bad generals is really what it comes down to. The apples are in the barrel, and the generals are the ones that are responsible. One of them, by the way, which was a woman.
Yeah.
Who was
in charge of Abu Ghraib. And, of course, she blames all the other ones. Yeah, they all kind of blame each other.
And she said she knew nothing.
She says she knew nothing.
Yeah, she never walked around the prison.
She didn't go see what was going on. I don't know what to make of that. She was either very negligent or she knew exactly what was going on.
Yeah, I think she knew exactly what was going on, but it was so horrific. And who would she turn to? To the president,
she questioned this general that came over from Guantanamo, that actually said, okay, here's how we're going to do things, and he kind of said, we're going to, you know, just basically take the brakes off. Now we're going to let her rip. We got to get more confessions. We got to get something. We got to get some information. I don't know what he wanted. His excuse was, but the main thing is that he gave the permission and gave the orders. Yeah. And, of course, he must have gotten them from Rumsfeld.
Of course.
Who got them from Bush Daddy.
And, of course,
Dick Daddy.
When they started this, they didn't say that this was torture. That's why, you know, that's how they got away with it. Oh, I don't believe that's torture. Oh, it's torture. Oh, yes, I see. Don't stop doing that.
Well, that's just a question of semantics.
Yeah, semantics.
You know, they were calling it abuse. It wasn't torture. You know, it's torture.
Anyway, it's 6 minutes after midnight, and we're going to have to leave you pretty soon. So this is your last chance to call. You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web. One of America's first, actually one of the world's first radio stations on the Internet. And we're quite honored by that. And last year we won the Platinum Microphone Award.
Ah.
Which,
where's my platinum microphone?
Well, it's not quite platinum. As it turns out, it's a little bit like Saddam's fake plastic gold faucets.
Mm. Yeah. Well, anyway, we're happy to be here and talking about all aspects of sex, love, life, death, music, politics, fetish, fantasy. And we're going to be back tomorrow night. with another great show. Interesting stuff. Calls. I think we'll have some calls tomorrow night because our show is on cable everywhere.
Right. Well, we had a few calls last night.
We did. We did. But tonight we didn't have calls.
Well, that's because you're all sitting there and it's so interesting. And maybe some of you don't realize that, like, real radio on the airwaves, and probably because we're one of the few radio stations where you can actually call in on the internet. I don't think there's many. In fact, I don't know of any. So you can, if you have DSL, I mean, if you've got high-speed internet, you can actually pick up your phone and call us right now. If it is March 31st at this point, March 30th. If not, this is a rebroadcast of the show, and you can't call us. I mean, you can call us, but you can't talk to us without paying. We have to pay for this in some way, so we charge for private therapy.
Yes, we do, and it's worth every penny. Anyway, are we going to wrap up now?
We have 10 minutes to go. Well, I want to make these an hour and a half, you know. Really? Silence. Want to play some music? You want to say goodbye? Okay, we can say goodbye. We can say goodbye. It's just I'm trying to keep them, you know. I'm trying to be like a real radio station.
I've got to learn my way around. Well, maybe I should play the Rehab song now that...
Yeah, why don't you end with a couple of her songs?
Now that we are plugged in properly. Okay.
Okay.
So...
So we're going to play a little music from for you, and this... this.
Try to make me go to rehab, but I won't go, go, go. I'd rather be at home with Ray. I can't got 17 days. Cause there's nothing you can't teach me. A lot of class, but I know it don't come in the silence. It's trying to make me go to rehab. I said no, no, no. Yes, I've been black, but where I come back, you know, no, no. I ain't got the time, and my daddy. Wanna drink again? I
Cha cha cha. Okay, so
that was great. We're at 13 minutes, and you could say goodnight. And
all right, then
I'll finish the show. Actually, could you put on another one of hers, and we'll fade it out, and we'll talk over her.
All right, let's see, where is she now? Let's see, I lost her now. YouTube.
Hey, by the way, when we go to New York, and if you're in New York...
Oh, we're going to New York,
yeah,
that's
we're
right.
coming to New York.
I can't hear myself. Am I
oh, you right? can't hear yourself.
No,
huh?
Well, not really, no.
Really,
something
okay.
sort of happened.
Can you hear that?
A little better, yeah. That's, oh, that's much
that better?
Better, much
okay.
better, much better. Yes, I. We're going to New York. We're going to stay at the Chelsea.
Yeah, and I went to the Chelsea website today. They've redone their whole room and everything.
Oh,
all,
yeah.
all their rooms. They're
oh,
great.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, big, big rooms. The biggest rooms in New York City.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, and biggest rooms in New York City. And I went through all the great people that have lived in New York in, at the Chelsea Hotel. What's going on here?
What is going on with our phones?
Oh, we got it.
Okay. And then we're going to go to Yale, and we're going to stay at the Duncan. And here's another song, Love is a Losing Game. I don't know if I'll like that. Maybe I will.
Try it.
Try it. Haven't heard this one.
So if you're going to be, we're going to be in New York. And if you want to join us, let us know. We'd love to have dinner with you.
Maybe.
Maybe.
You're paying.
You're paying. This is low-budget...
travel.
Travel and low-budget radio station, so...
And then we'll be in New Haven.
Right.
For a Yale reunion. But that'll probably get boring. So if you're in New Haven, you could maybe meet up with us at Claire's Cornucopia. Love is a losing game. A little depressing.
Oh.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Love is a losing hand.
Not always, darling.
More than I could stand. This is depressing. Self-professed and profound, tilter tips were down. Know you're a gambling man. Love is a losing hand.
Well,
though I battled blind, love is a fate resigned. Memories mar my mind.
Okay, you can check out now, Susan, and we'll fade
love
out.
Love is a fate.
We'll fade out with
design.
Her. So, give your ending.
That's sad.
We're at 17.
Well, cuddle up to your lover if you have a lover, and be grateful that you've got a winning game. And even if you don't have a lover, at least you have a vibrator. You can find one in that high school girl's shower. Wherever you can find a vibrator.
Almost any shower nowadays.
Yeah. Just cuddle up to it and make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. I love you.
From Los Angeles, California, you've been listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web. One of the Internet's first radio stations broadcasting since... 1997, I believe it is, Radio Susie 1. And you can find Radio Susie 1 at drsusanblock.com. You can find a lot of other things there also. We have no jingles, we have no hype, just radio. It's at its best with Dr. Susan Block. And you'll know Dr. Susie, right? You know Dr. Susie, right? So when you listen to the show, you turn the lights down low. And after you listen to the show, you make love. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. From Los Angeles, California to the rest of the world, thank you for having us in your lovely home.